Thanks to the True Choice offer, saving money on crop protection is easier than ever. Because when you fund a True Choice prepay account, you earn up to 5% savings on more than 100 crop protection products from Corteva Agriscience. That's upfront savings with no waiting on rebates. And if you don't have cash in your pocket right now, we offer competitive financing too. Ask your local crop protection retailer about the True Choice offer today. More choices, more savings.
All right, on what's turned out to be a pretty fine day for most, got some April showers and but mild temperatures. Last mild, mild day. Let's head out to Billings, Montana. RCAF USA CEO Bill Bullard. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Nick. How are you today?
Pretty good, all things considered. How's the spring treating you? The pastures? Anything really exceptional or really bad?
No, just we're starting to green up here, so it's looking like spring.
Good. All righty. Well, we got to talk about. We've got a lot of things to get to here today, including the excessive packer profits, the CARES Act help for livestock producers, and the your amended complaint in the RFID case. But let's first talk about you are going to file another appeal on the beef checkoff.
Well, that's right. We had an initial win from the U.S. Federal District Court that said that we were correct, that it was unconstitutional for USDA to allow the Montana State Beef Council to compel producers to fund their private speech. And after that initial win, the USDA entered into contracts with each of the 15 state beef councils named in our suit. And in those contracts, the state beef councils grant to the USDA exclusive authority to pre-approve and approve and reject all of the messaging and all the speech expressed by those councils. And so given that new development, the new contract that USDA entered into with these state beef councils, the court has now said that they have corrected the constitutional violation that has gone on for the past 30 years. And so the essentially said the USDA has reformed itself in the operation of these checkoff councils. So we are appealing this matter to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and we have two compelling concerns. Number one, is we're not certain that it is appropriate to correct a long-standing and serious violation of the Constitution with a revocable contract, and that's what these memorandums of understandings are that the government entered into. The second is we think the court misconstrued the money that's flowing from the state beef councils directly to the National Cattlemen Beef Association to buy seats on the National Cattlemen Beef Association Federation. In fact, millions of dollars are flowing to that third party. And we believe that the courts thought that the money was going to pay for goods and services as opposed to being an open check to buy a seat. And so those are the two primary issues that we intend to appeal. And we hope that the appellate court will take a probing look at the record in this case and agree with us. We'll find out what happens.
All right. What message does this send to you, Bill, that the USDA's, well, the first of all, the USDA says, okay, we're going to do this and kind of do this not sneakily, but we'll do it cleverly. And then the court saying, okay, it's all right, like you said, it's okay to, with a revocable contract, fix a long-standing problem.
Well, unfortunately, that's how the system works. In fact, we're also seeing that in the next issue, the radio frequency identification tag issue. There, we caught the USDA unlawfully trying to mandate the use of RFID technology, meaning every producer that wants the privilege of shipping cattle across state lines would be encumbered by the requirement that they pay for an electronic frequency identification ear tag. And that was unlawful. And so in response, after we filed our suit, the USDA withdrew the mandate and then argued to the courts that they had self-corrected the problem and therefore the case should be dismissed. So this is typical of the government's response in legitimate lawsuits. They try to voluntarily correct the action before they become subject to an adverse ruling by the judicial system. And so this is one means that citizens have to hold the government accountable, and that's precisely what we're doing.
In February, your attorney informed the court the order to dismiss did not address the agencies violating the law by having convened one or more committees consisting of ear tag manufacturers, packers, and other advocates of mandatory RFID. Talk about that for a second.
Sure. Well, in the initial lawsuit, we made two principal arguments. First, we said the government simply violated the Administrative Procedures Act, which is the law requiring them to go through a public comment and rulemaking process before affecting citizens' rights. And the government did not do that. They simply issued this mandate that all producers would use RFID ear tags by January 1 of 2023. But the second allegation we made was that in the development of that mandate, the USDA relied upon private committees that had been convened with the government support to provide the government with guidance and recommendations and policy suggestions. And so that's what happened here, is the government convened committees consisting of multinational ear tag manufacturers with representatives of the meat packers, and initially with representatives of producers. And they relied upon that private committee to provide guidance and recommendations in the development of this RFID mandate. But soon the government realized that there were members on the committee who opposed the government mandate. And so rather than incorporating their concerns in the formulation of policy decision-making process, the government simply disbanded the first committee and formed a new one and precluded anyone who did not agree that the RFID mandate needed to take place as scheduled. And so we argued now in our amended complaint filed this week that the USDA had not only violated its own laws regarding the mandate itself, but we argue now that they violated the Federal Advisory Committee Act by unlawfully relying upon private committees that were not equally balanced, they were not diversified, and instead they represented the interests of those who stand to profit if the government were to mandate such a requirement on the industry. So we're alleging now a violation of the Federal Advisory Committee Act, and we're asking the court to direct the USDA to completely ignore all of the work products and materials that this unlawful committee had developed and upon which the USDA relied on in order to implement the mandate that, of course, has now been withdrawn. But we need to get to the bottom of this, because this is not how the government should operate. The government should be operating with transparency. All citizens should have an opportunity to participate in the decision-making process. And here the government was purposely trying to circumvent that requirement.
Bill, you're real good at being the burr under the saddle for USDA, the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and other groups. You're good at holding their feet to the flames and making sure they stay accountable. But is this part of the bigger picture of how packers, and now the packers are going under the microscope for their unbelievable profits when cattle producers are getting limited income, and the grocery stores are, you know, the product is flying off the shelves and the packers are making great money, but cattle producers aren't. Is this part of the bigger problem?
This is the problem. This is a huge problem, because since at least January 2015, we've seen a complete disconnect between the value of beef that consumers pay for and the value of cattle that producers get paid for. And as a result of this disconnect, we've seen in the last 3 years that consumer beef prices have been trending upward, cattle prices have been trending downward. Add upon that crisis the new pandemic of coronavirus, and we saw, as you said, empty grocery store shelves. What that tells us is our markets are fundamentally broken. Our supply chain is fundamentally broken, and our distribution chain was incapable of meeting the needs of America. For the first time in history, Americans had gone to grocery stores and could not buy the food that they want. And this should be a huge red flag that we have gone too far in simply throwing the control of the U.S. food production system into the hands of but a few corporations. And so there's no redundancy built into the system. Back in the 80s, we had hundreds of thousands more producers. We had tens of thousands more feedlots. We had hundreds of more packers. And back then, we had redundancy. And if a problem occurred in any one area of the country, it would easily be the slack would be filled by other producers. We don't have that ability now. You shut down one of these plants, like what happened in August of 2019, suddenly you see a catastrophe in the marketplace. This means that we have neglected to ensure the national food security interests of this country, and we did so by ignoring the needs of the hardworking, independent American cattle farmers and ranchers all across this country. Hopefully this is a wake-up call that will be heeded.
All right, Bill Bullard, RCAF CEO. Bill, the government coming to the rescue, though, of consumers and small businessmen and the SBA with these the paycheck protection loans. Is there anything in the CARES Act which you like for livestock producers?
Well, importantly, we ask the government not to just throw money at this problem, that the problem has to be associated with some permanent market reforms in order to restore competition so producers can continually earn an income from the competitive marketplace. But Congress saw fit to pass the CARES Act, and included in that is $9.5 billion to support livestock producers and dairy producers and other farmers. And so we're in the process of making recommendations to the Secretary right now, asking him to think outside the box and to not just throw money at this problem, because we do not want to disincentivize producers from trying to achieve a competitive price in the marketplace, and we don't want to incentivize the buyers to shoot a lowball figure at the producer, knowing full well that the taxpayer is going to pick up the difference. And so we're asking to focus on the immediate and current and future financial needs of producers by looking at extending loan repayments, of providing no interest or low interest rate loans, of perhaps forgiving some indebtedness that is holding the producer from being able to survive this, and perhaps waiving payments. So we want to do something other than just throwing money like what some of the other commodity programs are. We don't want to get into the cycle as the cattle industry of relying upon government price supports. We want to restore a competitive market first and foremost, but we recognize we have to provide assistance because we cannot afford to lose any more of the already dwindling number of American cattle farmers and ranchers.
All this happening while the 2021 U.S. meat and world meat supply is hitting the ground in the form of newborn baby calves. So, alrighty, Bill Bullard, RCAF CEO, thank you. Always good to visit with you and get your perspective. Appreciate it. And again, thanks for the work you do.
My pleasure. Thank you, Mick.
You bet. Have a good rest of the week. And the website or your Facebook page is a good place for people to get more information?
It certainly is, yes.
Alrighty.
R-CAFUSA.com.
Gotcha. Alrighty. Bill, have a good rest of the week.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye now.